Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome into the house of the Lord. That was beautiful worship. Amen. And the temperature is beautiful. I thank God for you. I thank God for each one of you. And do you know what I think God is going to do in your life? Exactly what he promised to do. God's going to come through. He will not put you to shame. You may have people in your family that's like, oh, you keep trusting God. It's not going to happen. If you trust God, you will not be put to shame.
You know, you learn at every turn that the enemy comes out hard against you, but that God has your back. I keep having to learn that lesson for over and over, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And this morning, I have a couple announcements. Number one, Elise has had her baby, a beautiful baby, last night. I am so excited. She texted, and she is doing well, and the baby is doing well, and hopefully we'll see him soon. So much is going on. I'm so excited about the things. I do have a very, very strong word tomorrow night, a prophetic word for any who come. I want to tell you that last Monday night, we had record attendance, and the Holy Spirit moved in this house. And God is just showing us at every turn, I'm still here. I'm still with you. I am for you, like Tony said it. And today's message, we're going to share a message. And by the way, I have a very special friend here this morning. Yessie is here, my friend Yessie from Indiana. And I love her. And I'm just so glad to see you, Yessie. It's been too long. And also, next Sunday, you guys are going to have a very special treat. Pastor Gil is going to be speaking the Word of God. And I am going to be away in Kansas City speaking and preaching the Word of God and in board meetings and other stuff. And but this morning's message has been on Pastor Ken and I's heart for a while. And most people look at waiting as a good thing. And it is a good thing if you're waiting for something and you're waiting on God, okay? But we're going to be talking today a strange message called Don't Wait. When something is important, you don't wait. Like to come to church, don't wait because you might miss the main course. My brother and I have this kind of cool saying that we say with each other, kind of an inside joke. Sooner is better than later. And what does that mean? That means if you need to go to the doctor, Willie, sooner is better than later. And if I need surgery, Pam, sooner is better than later. If Ken, you need to pay a bill, you're going to wait. Sooner is better than later, right? You don't wait on things that are important. And if you do wait, it's sad because if I choose to do what's right the first time and I recognize something as important, I can save myself a lot of pain and heartache, can't I? I can just do it and do it right the first time. I can just obey the first time because my favorite saying that I made up, I know it's made up, but it's if you delay, you will not obey. And to procrastinate is not a good thing. By definition, it means to postpone taking action. It's time. I have a word for you this morning. It's time to take action. It's time for us not to. The people of the Bible who were successful were those who were obedient to God the very first time that God asked them to do something. The lame man by the pool, and I've been studying him, Ken, when Jesus said, arise, take up your bed and walk, he did not wait for God to say it a second time, did he? He rose, and believe me, God immediately gave his feet strength. Can you imagine laying there that long? And God didn't have to say it twice. Let me tell you, God's given me a word, which I'm going to share tomorrow night, and he doesn't have to say it twice to me. I'm going to take that word and run with it. When Pastor Ken and I were young, way a long time ago, our father would give us instructions to complete a task, but he made something clear to us. I'm not going to be happy if I have to repeat myself here. If I have to repeat myself, there's going to be consequences. If I say fold the clothes, I don't mean you wait until I beg with you and plead with you. And it wasn't like he was going to forget about the word he gave us either. God has not forgotten about the word that he has given you. And if we decided to wait and delay, we suffered the consequences of someone who waited and delayed. And sometimes people wait to do the right thing. As I give this to Pastor Ken, I want to share you a heartbreaking story. In 1993, the state of Texas executed a completely innocent man named Reuben Cantu because a false witness, 10 years after the fact, a decade after the fact, it got to his conscience and he came up and he decided to make things right. But the man had been executed. This is what you do. If you wait and delay to do what's right, somebody's life may be at risk. It may be yours, but it may be someone else. You can say, oh, I'm going to wait and I've got to wait to make decisions. If you're about ready to jump out of a plane and you decide to wait to put your parachute on, I got some bad news for you.
And what if we take that illustration, what if you yourself had killed someone? And someone else was arrested for it, and someone else got the death penalty for it, and you had to watch that other person die in your place. Because isn't that what Jesus did? He was the innocent man that was put to death for us, for crimes that we committed, which is powerful. There's some thoughts in the Word of God that we're so used to hearing them, but if you stop and really think about them, they are extraordinary. Here's something you've heard 1,000 times, but I want you to think how extraordinary this is. This is a truth. You are an eternal being. Which means that 100,000 years from now, you will still be you. Now that's profound. The caterpillar may change into a butterfly, but it's still him. Or her. It's still the same individual. It's just changed. And you will be changed greatly. I like thinking about those things. That we have a hope. Even when life is hard, Jesus says, there's a hope there. So I want to also tell you this. That here's another simple but profound thought. And it's so simple that it's almost too simple, but it's still extremely profound. That God is your father. Come on now. If you ever think about that the creator of heaven and earth is your father, that he's a good father. And here's something you don't know, but I'll tell you it's because it's true. You know how sometimes when you have a child and they're really doing good and you just look at him and you smile and you just smile. And then you have this other child that you, they walk by and you go, oh my. I want to tell you, and I know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but most of the time, God is smiling at you. He is. God sees you through the blood of Jesus, and he sees you through the potential. Satan is the one that sees you and says, here's all your faults. Here's what you can't do. So we're talking about sooner is better than later, that now is the time to obey. And that's why the Bible says now is the time of salvation. So if you said to me today, Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm right with God. Today is your day to get right with God. Because you can put it off till you're in the nursing home, right? You can. You can say, next week, I'm really going to serve God. Now is the time to say Jesus is Lord. And there's so many examples in the Bible about immediately obeying God. The example of Jonah, which is, I think, so funny, the whole story where God says, go to Nineveh, and Jonah literally goes the opposite way. And as I think the reason it's funny is because we see ourselves in that story, that God told us to do certain things, called us to do certain things, and we kind of knew that we went the other way. It's kind of like, okay, Adam and Eve, now here's, don't eat of that fruit, okay? Don't eat of that fruit. What did they do? They One thing. You had one thing. It's like telling a child, don't drink this, whatever you do. You know they're going to go up there and drink it. And yet, the rules that God has established for us. Did God withhold that fruit in the garden because he was withholding something good from them? Or was he trying to prevent something bad from happening? When God says, be holy for because I am holy, is God holding back something from you? Have you ever known anyone that was dying of cocaine overdose that said, this was the best thing that ever happened to me? The things that God would say, touch not or taste not or stay away from, even the Old Testament rules about cleansing yourself and being, all of that was health reasons. There was reasons for everything. As you as a parent, if you say, don't touch that, it's not that you're trying to withhold something good from your child. It's because you know that touching that thing could be harmful. Am I right? So the things, the rules that God would have you live by, it's just your father saying, don't be out past midnight. It's just not safe out there. It's the rule that don't date a mass murderer. You know, it's just not going to turn out right. There's reasons that the Holy Spirit says to be holy, and there's reasons that you don't go certain places and do certain things. All of that is for your benefit. And the calling of God has not changed on your life. So I want to ask you, and I want to ask myself, what's your Jonah moment? What has God called you to do? Because I guarantee you that God has called you to rescue people. I guarantee you that God has called you to use your gifts and to share the good news about Jesus to bring others out of captivity. The only thing is, I get ready to give this back to Pam. There's no doubt in my mind that just like Jonah was called to bring people out of captivity, there's no doubt in my mind that you are also called. You may be called to be a prayer intercessor and you've run from that. You may be called to I don't know, I'm not trying to tell you what it is, but what has God told you to do? What do you know you have a calling to do? And what is your Nineveh in your life that God could have a breakthrough if you would just cooperate with God? But I'll tell you this, before you can enter that place in your ministry, it's not your ministry, it's God's ministry. Before you can enter where you're supposed to be, you've got to put on your own oxygen mask. And it may sound selfish, but in the plane they say, in case of emergencies, before you put the child's mask on, put on your mask. And what is the reason? Why? That sounds selfish. Shouldn't the child come before me? If you're trying to put them, you know the reason. You're going to pass out. You're the adult in the room. You've got to make sure that you're free so you can get other people free. And before you can enter your ministry and God's ministry, we have got to be free. And I'm saying that because, Pam, I know, well, let me say this to everyone, and you need to know this, and you need to know it today. You are under attack. Your family is under attack. Satan wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be bitter. He wants you to be angry. He wants you to quit. He wants you to stop. He wants you to lose your faith. He wants you to lose your love. He wants you to be discouraged. And we have got to push back against that. You need to take all that to the cross. You need to lay it at the foot of Jesus. You need to ask for supernatural breakthrough. To get free. Because I know I'm under attack. But I'm not going to just be, oh, woe is me, I'm under attack. I know that Pastor Gill is under attack. I know that Frida and Tony are under attack. I know that brother Tony from our music leader is under attack. Lucy, I know that you are under attack. You say, Pastor Ken is prophetic. He's calling out all these people. I'm not being prophetic. I'm just looking at people and remembering their names, because you are all under attack, and you better recognize that you have an enemy. But thank God we sang it. The blood is greater. The love is greater. God, our God is greater. And so in the name of Jesus, you said you have a prophetic word, but in the name of Jesus, I break discouragement I declare it because we got, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom. I know because I've been caught in it. I've been caught in the web of discouragement. I've been caught in the web of depression. And I know that that is not of God. That is not what God has called us to. But we plead the blood of Jesus over this church and over individuals and over lives. Greater is he that is in me than is he that is in the world. And if you feel weak, it's okay. Let the weak say, I am strong. It is not my battle. It is God's battle. It is not my, we have got some Goliaths to face, but we say we've got a rock that his name is Jesus Christ.
There is a reason that the enemy has attacked you with discouragement, and there is a reason that he has come at you with offense and with all these things from every direction. And one of the things that I would say along that word is, if the enemy has come at you, don't talk to him, don't dialogue, don't get in an argument with people or the enemy. Just keep focus on the word of God. Keep your focus on the cross. Otherwise, you'll hear words from the enemy instead of the word from the Lord about you. And part of the word that I'm going to give tomorrow night is about why the enemy, it's in fact, I'm going to tell you exactly why the enemy has decided, and Fried already knows this, to attack you personally and nobody else. I'm going to tell you why the enemy wants you. There's a reason for it. Trust me. You know, one of the things that, you know, Ken, you were talking about, we are to save other people. The reason that God saved Moses, one person, is so he could deliver millions of people. Did you ever think about what one person can do? I had always wondered, why does the enemy constantly attack me with things? He said, because there is a reason for it. You are one person who has the ability to save so many people. And, you know, as we talk about this, you know, obedience, you know, there's a thing in society called, with children, called first time obedience, where you teach your children to obey you, Frieda, the very first time you say it. And you go, wow, that seems a little bit harsh. Can't you work with your child? No, no, ma'am. When you say, when a father says, come out of the street, that child better come now, because their life depends on obedience. Can I say something to you? Your life depends on whether you're obedient to the father or not. If you are disobedient to your father, it may cost you your life. It may cost you your life. If you do not trust God, if we don't obey God, first time obedience, it means we don't trust God. Doesn't matter if that's in finances. Doesn't matter if that's in the love area. Doesn't matter if that's in faithfulness to come to church. It means I don't trust you, God. And I don't want to wait to obey God until I'm up to my neck in trouble, you know. And the Lord gave me a word one day, and it was such a strong word. It was, you're in time out for disobedience. I don't want God to have to put me in time out. And here's what, why it came to me. I was thinking about my childhood, Ken and I's childhood, and how our father would say, the sooner you, Ken cuts the grass, and the sooner you fold that laundry, then you guys can go outside. But us being the two individuals that we are, and not always deciding to do it first time obedience, we delayed our blessing. And so what happens is God has to put you in timeout, and you have to watch all the other kids outside getting their blessing from God, getting their ministry assignments, but you're in timeout because you're disobedient. And here's the thing, if you're ever going to get your blessing, if you're ever going to get the cake that your mom has promised, and you're ever going to get the sweetness of the blessing of God, you're going to obey anyway sometime. It's just a matter of, when are you going to obey, and how much consequence are you going to? I mean, I remember standing my dad down one time. I was standing him down, and he was asking me to do something. Why do I have to do that? He goes, that's another day. I said, and what, but why can't I talk to you? That's another day. And he just kept adding days till I think I was at like day eight. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in. I'm ready to obey. And Ken, Abraham was someone who we should take a look at his life, because Abraham was told to leave his country, leave your family. And you know what he did? He didn't sit around and dilly-dally. He got a suitcase out of the closet, and he got his little toiletry bag, and he got moving. He did it immediately. The Bible says he left immediately. The next morning he went up to Mount Moriah. And he did exactly what God said. He presented his son as a sacrifice. And you know what that did? That saved him and his son. Because of his obedience, God said, because you decided to do this, I'm going to give my son. He saved his life and he saved our life because he was obedient.
When Abraham was called, it said he left not knowing where he was going. How do you like that? That God, because I want to ask you, where is God taking you? It's legitimate to go. That's the cool thing. I have no idea. I'm going where God leads me. If you are obedient to God, you could find yourself ministering to a group of people tonight. You could find yourself getting on a plane tomorrow. You could find, it doesn't matter. You just have to be ready for wherever God might bring you. I want to also, and I believe that I'm saying this by the Lord today because I think we all need to hear this. I want to remind you that you walk by faith and not by sight. Wow, is it easy to slip into the mode of looking at our circumstances and judging how we're doing according to the circumstances. God doesn't judge that way, and neither should you. So many things in the Bible that the men and women were obedient to God, and they never even saw the end result. God has not called you to some success where men will celebrate you. God has called you so that your name will be called out in heaven. It's okay that I never win an Oscar and that man never applauds for me. But if God says, well done, thy good, and he's called you to faithfulness. Faithfulness. Just do what you know that God, that God has called you to. And Abraham, the other thing I like, you all know this because I've said it so many times, who against hope believed in hope anyway. When there is no hope, when you say, I don't see in the natural how this could turn out, who against hope believed in hope? The advice of Mary, the mother of Jesus, talking about the best mother, say, what's the best motherly advice that anyone ever gave in the history of the world? It's Mary. And this is the advice forever for all of us. She when they were doing the wine at the wedding, they had run out of wine before Jesus did the miracle. Mary said, everybody, do exactly what he tells you to do. That's it. That was her advice to us. Do what Jesus tells you to do. That's pretty good advice. I just want to do what Jesus told us to do. And what, say, well, I don't know what that is. Well, I'll tell you. Jesus said to you and I, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I like that. That's simple. That whatever is happening in your life, I don't care what it looks like in the natural, Jesus says, have faith in God. But there's storms. Have faith in God. But the boat's going to tip over. Well, Jesus seems to be okay with it. He's sleeping. In the boat, have faith in God. You say, but Jesus isn't in the boat with me. You are in trouble. Yeah, be scared. But if Jesus is in your life, Rahab was a scarlet thread that was lowered. Sure, the situation was bad, but she took the steps to cover her family, and we're taking steps to cover ours.
And she did it immediately. The Bible says that as the spies were leaving, she immediately went and hung that red cord. You know, one of the things about the story about Mary, Ken, that has always impressed me so much, there's some more heroes than just Mary in the story. She gave a word to some servants. So that's us, right? When we receive the word of the Lord, here's what she told them. She said, you do what he says. And he said, take the water pots and take the water and pour it. Do you know what faith that had to take? What trust in the word that had to take? In the word, if you trust in the word, can I give you a word? God wants you to keep pouring out of yourself and trust him to turn it into wine. That had to take great faith because those servants knew this is water. This is water. this ain't Starbucks. This is water over here. But if you keep pouring, it will be turned into wine. So you keep doing what you are in faith. Keep, and that was to be obedient. They had to be obedient to that word. You know, because sometimes we don't listen. One of my perfect examples I have written in the notes is, you know, there are these states where they have hurricanes. And they're warned. They have been given a word of warning, like us, right? And what do many people, you'll see them on the news, I'm just going to ride this one out. Just going to ride. And then 2 days later on the news, you see their houses were all destroyed. And you're like, you just rode it out, didn't you? No, you didn't obey the warning. You did not heed the warning. You waited until it was too late. You know, the bill has to be paid anyway. Why not pay it now? That's just, you know, I was telling Frieda last night, the funniest thing that Sarah Jakes had I ever heard her say was she would wait. She would procrastinate to pay her bills. She was on her own and she wouldn't pay her bills and she wouldn't do the stuff she was supposed to. And her mother, she was begging Sarita Jakes for money. And her mother said to her, he is a fool who buys what he wants and begs for what he needs. She waited and did not do the right thing. And then she got in trouble and had to go begging. You know what? The enemy is going to tempt each and every one of us to do it later. You know what, Ken? You got plenty of time. You could be boating on Sunday and then just come to church in your 90s. What if you don't have plenty of time? That's a lie from the enemy. And why would you wait in the first place? Because let me tell you something. The minute you decide to obey God, do you know that that does something in the spirit realm to activate your blessings? That begins, you don't earn your blessings that way. Do not ever say that. Jesus earned your blessings, okay? But it will activate the blessings that he earned for you in order for you to be able to appropriate them and receive them. That's a mouthful, but that's just the way it is. But if your disobedience, you know what that activates? The consequences of disobedience. So the sooner I obey, the better my life starts getting. I learned that again this week, that God has my back. No weapon, no person. Oh, no. God's got my back. And he's got your back. Just do what he told you to do.
So I think the thing that I see over and over is that Satan tries to get people to quit or get so discouraged that we quit on our love and we quit trying or we quit hoping, we quit believing, we stop reading the Word of God. And last week when we were talking about the word forget, that God doesn't forget the covenant, there's so many simple principles in the Bible that if you get away from the Word, you actually forget that you're supposed to walk in forgiveness. You actually forget that you're supposed to pray about situations and ask God for miracles. You actually forget that God's called you to be a prayer warrior. And so we can forget and just kind of fall into that apathetic state. But I like the military thing where when I went into to my career field, it was, I decided to get into the hardest career field I could, which ended up being crypto. And they said half the people that start this will end up failing out of it. And I thought, that's just so sad for that other half. Because that was not my plan, is to start and fail. And I started this plan when I was 7 years old, and that plan was to live for Jesus. And I have been through some hard things, but I am so thankful that whenever I get knocked all the way down, I hit the foundation of Jesus Christ every time. Every time, no matter how hard I get hit, when I'm laying on the ground, I'm Jesus. And I like those old war movies because they're like about people that are going to join the SEAL teams. And because the way that the SEAL teams actually work is it's volunteer, that you can quit anytime and go back and just, you know, take it easy. And so they'll be training these men and women now, and the instructors are not saying you can make it. The instructors are saying, are you wanting to quit? Why don't you quit? It's time to quit. Come on, everybody, quit. And that's the enemy. just constantly telling you it's time to quit. Why? It'd just be easier. Wouldn't it be easier to just quit? Wouldn't it have been easier today to just hit that old snooze and just lay there in the under the cover? Oh, how nice would that have been? But then you would have missed God, and you would have missed the worship and your ability to worship God that we're about to do. And I remember an old movie that many of you remember, An Officer and a Gentleman, that the Richard Gere character is trying to become an officer, and the character, his drill sergeant, has him doing push-ups and pull-ups, and he's on the ground, and he's squirting him with a water hose, and the instructor is saying, "Quit, quit, just quit." And the line, and I always remembered it. He's the soldier. He was crying, and he said, "I've got nowhere else to go." Now, this Christian walk, when the devil says, "Quit," I've got nowhere else to go. There's only one God. There's only one Jesus. There's only one hope. No matter how bad it gets, we will always be there. And the temptations of Jesus, there had to be some real temptations in there, otherwise it's not a temptation. You know, if you tempt me with a bag of rotten food, that's not a good temptation. I know I've successfully resisted that temptation. So some things that Satan might tempt others with, you know, if I find a giant bag of cocaine, I'm going to very quickly throw it away. I'm not tempted to stop my heart. I'm fine. But some of the temptations of Jesus, I thought that Satan was missing the boat quite a bit. I mean, certainly tempting him with hunger, that's probably in there. But I think when he tempted him, "Why don't you bow down and worship me?" I think that was really? I would trade what my father has for what? No, I think that one was an easy one. And I don't think I've ever seriously, I've been discouraged before, and I've thought things that were certainly sinful things that, "Oh God, why aren't you helping me?" But I've never have ever been tempted to leave Christianity. I've never been tempted to say that I'm going to deny Christ. Never. I always know that that's the truth in my life and the truth in my heart. And I hope you're the same way. Because the goal here is caterpillars, is to live and be transformed into that butterfly, that you're going to be changed and you're going to be given a new body, a new life. You are going to be transformed. So the goal is that on your last day in this body, that you are saying Jesus is still Lord. And how it must, I'm sorry, Pam, for taking all this time, but how it must discourage Satan when he just keeps coming, he keeps seeing you beat down. He sees you're laying down like that soldier is, and you're being sprayed by water, and you're there crying, and he goes, "Are you going to quit now?" And you're like, "Seriously? No, I, this is it. I've decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, you can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. This is my final answer. Quit asking me if I've changed my mind. I hit no matter what. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the banker says, no matter what people say, no matter what anybody says, I've got to pick Jesus. He's got to be my final answer. I had something else to say, but I guess I should turn it back over to you. No. No, I forgot what it was. I was going to say something else. Oh, I know what it was. I know what it was. No, I know what it was. Hey, by the way, my wife, who's I think is in the nursery, you would think she knows how old that I am, but I told her she said, "Well, when your birthday's coming up," she goes, "How old are you going to be?" And I said, "Well, 60," and she said, "60." I'm like, "Wow, thank you." When I was younger and I was an attorney and I was making plans for my life, it was plans to just become a rich attorney. That was, and I would go to church and I would have tithed, and that was the plan, is to build the law firm of Kenneth Bonner. The biggest, the best, that was the plan. But I always have felt in my heart that if God asks you to do something, what a privilege. What a privilege. And I've told this story before because right before my dad died, I had started trading stocks, and there was a friend of ours that was a multimillionaire, and he let me trade his money. So I had millions of dollars potential. So that was my job, is to trade stocks, and as he made money, I made a percentage. And 2 days before my father died, I made about $2,200 in that one day. And then the next day I came into work, and before 10 o'clock I was up $1,700 for the day. And now this is before I am going around saying to everyone, oh, have I arrived? Ken's boat has come in. I'm making $2,000 a day. I was just drunk on stupidity. And when I was told that I could come to this church and pastor, my yes was within 2 seconds, because there's a saying in the Air Force, never refuse a combat assignment. And I believe that when God opens a door for you to walk through, you go through it. I walked through that door to do this. I've had ups and downs, but the reason I'm telling you this story is twice in the last month, I have heard the following rumor. I have heard that someone has said that Pastor Ken is talking about quitting, or someone else has said that he's talking about moving. And every time I heard that, I laughed, because I have never, since I took this position, thought that I should leave or quit or move or do anything different. I want to be where God has called me to be. I would rather be faithful in the small things. I'm telling you, I want to be where God has called me to be. And Jonah was called, you are called, whatever God has called you to do, he's called you to do something. And it's a joke that Satan would think that we would say anything other than, I'm going to follow Jesus all the days of my life. And it is a privilege and it is an honor. There is no law firm that can entice me. There is no job that can entice me. As long as this place is here, and I believe that God has me here, I want to be here. I just want you to know, quit can't be in. You can't quit Christianity. You can't quit your faith. You can't quit your love. You can't quit your forgiveness. But I can quit talking, because I'm so sorry.
You know, I love how you called it a combat assignment. I'm like, okay, that's real. Keep it real. Let's keep it real. It's a combat assignment. You know, one of the things that happened to me when I was really, really discouraged one time, and I was having this conversation with God, and I was like, I just need to give up. I just need to, you know, I'm just not going to do this anymore. And, you know, one of the things that he just said to me, and that keeps me showing up, is I showed up for you on Calvary. I showed up. Are you going to show up for me now? Every single time. And it just encouraged my heart that we have to. And, you know, when we get these assignments, Ken could have easily said, you know, because actually I'm the one who called him and said, you know, can you come home? And he said, I'm on my way. I'm literally on my way. I said, I can't take this anymore. Dad is dying here and I can't stand here by myself anymore. Come home. And he just immediately left. He could have said, listen, I'll send you money, because I'm making some bucks here. And, you know, he could have said that. I'm going to stay just a few more days. I'm going to stay. But you know what? Then we miss out on God's best, don't we? You know, I so many times we think it can never be too late. I want to tell you two quick stories. The first is my cousin Chris, and I have her permission to tell this. She said to me, I asked her about a time, and I remembered that she had made it a practice once she started her family. She no longer went home to her mom and dad's house for Christmas. She stayed with her two boys in Albuquerque, and she said, I go home the next week or something. But she began to feel the Holy Spirit telling her, go home Christmas, go home Christmas. And she could not shake that feeling. This was before she was really serving God with all her heart. She decided to go home Christmas. 4 weeks later, it would have been too late. My favorite uncle on the earth, Uncle Jim, died, her dad, 4 weeks later. She only had one Christmas. Thank God that he's putting it on our heart by the Holy Spirit to obey now. It will someday be too late. Some of you have heard me tell the story, and I'm not going to use names, but I officiated a funeral service, and I wound up sitting next to a widower that I knew well. He proceeds to lean over to me and tell me, I never told her I love her. I almost grabbed Dave Fisher on the other side of me. He was at the same funeral and said, oh my God, I just was in such a state of shock. And I didn't know what to say. For the first time, a pastor has nothing to say. And I said, well, I'm sure she knew because you stayed with her all these years. He said, no, I never told her I love her. Not long ago, I heard that he went home to be with the Lord, and I thought, thank you, Jesus. He can tell her now. You know, sometimes on this earth, we wait too late to say we love, to send the flowers, to say I'm sorry, to say forgive me, to make things right, to do what's right. All of those things. There does come a time. If you don't walk down that aisle today, Are you promised that you have tomorrow to take care of business? Why not take care of the business of living today? You know, if you're going to do something, why not do it today? Why not sing the song today? Why not go to college today? I love the story of the girl who told her mother at 39 or 40 she wanted to go to college. And the mother said, do you know how old you'll be 4 years from now? And she said, do you know how old I'll be if I don't go to college 4 years from now? The same age. And so many of us are not 17 anymore. We can't wait until it's too late. One of the most exciting things that ever happened is, you know, because we sow seeds into people's life, and I've been sowing seeds into a life. My friend Rose and I have been sowing seeds into this girl, and she's into tea leaf reading and all this and that. And the other night at our high school reunion with the music blaring and playing, guess what she did? She gave her life to Christ as we sat right there. And she received Jesus. And we're telling her, no more horoscopes, no more. You cannot wait until it's too late, because there are souls counting us to do what we're called to do.
So I have a friend that he spent an Easter in Mexico. And him and his wife said, we need to find a service. And they couldn't find a service. So the hotel they were at, they decided to make their own service and invite people. So they printed out flyers and put it all over that there was going to be an Easter service. And they had a room at the hotel that they could use with some chairs. And they set up a bunch of chairs. You know, they set up about 50 chairs. And they had music and they had everything. And on the service, no one came, but one person came. And they were really disappointed because they were hoping to really, because they had really went out and canvassed and invited all kinds of people. So it was his family and this one guy. So he decides, well, maybe God has called me to do this for this one guy. So he preached a salvation message, the whole message on the cross, and gave an altar call, thinking that, well, this guy will get saved, and then it'll prove that God called me to be faithful in the little things, so anyway, he gives the altar call, expecting the guy to get saved, because that's the way the story should end, right? But the guy doesn't raise his hand, doesn't come forward, doesn't ask, so they just come home from Mexico, and he just thinks, well, that was a wasted thing. Years later, he was in another part of Mexico, he said hundreds of miles from where the original location was. And he doesn't know anyone in Mexico. And this guy starts calling his name. Hey, 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 tags him down. And he didn't recognize. He says, who are you? How do I know you? And he says, I was the guy you had an Easter service at years ago. And, of course, he remembered. He goes, yes, I remembered that. And he said to the man, he said, did you ever get saved and give your life to Christ? And the man said, no, I have been thinking about that message ever since. And Dave said, would you like to give your life to Christ? And the man said, yes. And they prayed, and he gave his life to Christ. What's the moral of this story is that you don't judge the way man judges. And we're not supposed to look at things. We are only supposed to look at faithfulness. And I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for every person here that's above and beyond all that you could ask or think. Last thing, and then are we gonna have worship at the end? Brother Tony, if you're here, we need you. Amen. Calling in the bullpen. He's been waiting. He's ready. He's always ready. So here's my last story. True story. I have always been fascinated by the fact that airplanes can fly, because I just don't think they should be able to. There's an airplane that the Air Force has that's called the C-5 Galaxy. And if you empty out the plane, you can literally and actually, and I'm using the word literally the correct way. People always use it incorrectly. You can literally put 12 Greyhound buses in the airplane. Think how big this airplane is. 12 Greyhounds would fit in the cargo. And think of how heavy that would be. It would. I don't know how much it would be, how many tons it would be, but extreme tonnage. This plane is huge. And you walk in this plane and you look at it and you think of the weight and the weight of the fuel, and you've got to think, this thing could not fly. I mean, gravity is just, it can't fly. So back when I was working with a law firm, I used to do a lot of depositions, which means I got to question people. I really liked that. I liked questioning people because I like being able to trap people. But I would, because I did all these depositions, they were all over Texas, and I would rent a small plane to fly to these depositions. And I remember one deposition in particular. It was going to be a rather long flight. And so I got to the airport early, and it was 5 a.m., and I was getting ready to leave from this airport at 5 a.m., but I was sitting in the cockpit. Now, check this out. I'm sitting in the cockpit of this plane at 5 a.m., and I've got everything off. The airplane is completely off. The battery is off. The lights are off. The plane isn't started. And I just have this childlike wonder that this thing could fly. I know how heavy it is. I know it's full of fuel. And I know that's just dumb, but I'm just so amazed that this thing will fly. But I had this thought as I sat there in the dark. I could sit here for 100 years in an airplane that's capable of flight, and I could sit here and go nowhere. I could sit here in the dark, and I could wish the plane to fly, and I could feel helpless and hopeless, and I could say, this is awful. But then I thought, because that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn this thing on. I'm going to go through the checklist in order. I'm going to get that propeller moving. I'm going to get myself on a runway, and I am going to add some power. And when I add power, it's going to add speed. And when I add speed, that wind is going to start whipping over the wing. It's going to create a low pressure area directly over the wing, and it's going to pull me up. Now, wherever you are today, however discouraged you are, it may be 5 a.m. and you're sitting there in the dark, I want you to know you are in a fully functional airplane, and if you would begin to activate it, you are a Christian, you have the blood of Jesus, you have a flight manual. If you would begin to activate it, you would mount up as wings of eagles, or you can sit here, we can sit here for 100 years and never take flight. But it is time to break off these things and begin to declare what God says about us. It is time for us to get off the boat that Jonah is on and head in the direction that God has for us. Amen. I love all of you. Amen. Praise God. I'm expecting things, Frida.